You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to this mega edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. With the short football week and everything that has been going on in our lives, we're going to give you one big show. Hopefully, you have already enjoyed the bench warmers with Zach and Quinn. 2 hours more of complete nonsense, which we certainly appreciate them for putting out tonight. It is the OG crew, myself, Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, and my guy, number 3 in your program, number 1 in your heart, wearing a ridiculous Charlotte Hornets t-shirt, Mr. Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how are you?
Well, I was really excited to come on the pod, and now I may just exit early. Thanks for that introduction. Go Hornets.
You believe. I'm glad that you believe, Trev. Let's hit the news really quick. No one broke any bones. We'll talk about the injury bug that bit North Dakota State during the Samford game, but that was Matt Entz's basic statement. Friday he told us nobody broke any bones, and on Monday he told us that everyone was at practice. Now, some of those guys were admittedly in the rehab group, but some of those guys were practicing. So good, obviously, with no bone breakage. Now, that doesn't mean nobody tore anything. Doesn't mean nobody sprained anything. Doesn't mean a lot of things. You can get hurt real bad without breaking bones. But ultimately, that was, I guess, good news. Interesting news on a former NDSU recruit. You know, my understanding, honestly, is that the University of Washington kind of broke the tie with North Dakota State. And this is sort of, I guess, inside information, but I don't care that it gets out at this point. Washington, despite being a Pac-12 team, they really broke their tie with NDSU with a significant NIL offer to Lincoln Keenholz. And that, I am guessing, has been dwarfed by the NIL capabilities of Ohio State. Former Lincoln Keenholz, former NDSU target at quarterback, a kid that actually was down to Washington and NDSU over Wisconsin over a number of FBS offers, has decommitted from Kalen DeBoer in Washington and will be headed to Ohio State. He was recently given a 4th star by 24/7 Sports and is now a part of the number 3 recruiting class in the entire country with the Ohio State Buckeyes and coach Ryan Day. So congratulations to, I can't remember what town that kid's from.
Pierre,
South Dakota. Yep.
Home of Gray Zabel. Yep.
Marquis Siegel gets a K-State offer. I know just from talking to people around kind of Marquis, that was kind of the one he wanted. That was, you know, he for an Omaha kid, way closer to home to play at K-State. In fact, I just made that drive today from Manhattan. I had lunch with my boy, Jared Taylor. Shout out Coach Taylor. Coach Jared Taylor. I should refer to him properly.
Coach JT.
Coach
JT. Get it right.
Dude, no, I'm a Friday Night Lights guy. He's Coach Taylor. I told him that, too. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Marquis Siegel committing to K-State. It's a quick drive for his family to see the game. Similar defensive principles, not the same. Obviously, with the 3-3-5 stack that Klanderman has put together to defend those Big 12 offenses. But, you know, with the success that Josh Hayes went transferring there, you certainly don't want any part of NDSU becoming a minor league system for guys to go transfer to K-State. But this is just, I think, probably the best fit for Marquise moving forward. One thing that I'm not sure is the best fit, DJ Hart to UNI. Going to lose a lot more games. I don't know what else to tell you. Especially with as much as I love, and I have made my love for this quarterback known, Theo Day, had a hell of a season. He's also out of college eligibility and going to be probably drafted in the sixth or seventh round. So heading to a, like I said, going to lose a lot more games at UNI. And going to go to a much worse quarterback situation. So good news for Seagulls, bad news for DJ. NDSU offers a number of portal kids. D.D. Snyder is a cornerback from Illinois, a young man, a three-star kid that has is a redshirt freshman. But in the first 2 years on campus, hasn't been able to find playing time for Coach Brett Bielema. Zach Durfee from University of Sioux Falls has been offered by every damn buddy. I know they had Zach on campus for an official visit, but boy, he is blowing up after what he did to the NSIC as a pass rusher. I wonder how much the success of Braden Thomas has to do with folks really understanding that if you're, you know, blowing it up in the NSIC, you're probably a decent player. That's high-level Division II ball, and the cream of the crop from that league can play about anywhere. And then Ja'Kai Young, who's a Division II quarterback from the southeast part of the country. I think he's from your neck of the woods there, Trev. Does I got that wrong. Southern Connecticut State University. It's a ECAC school, which is NCAA D2. That's the conference that he's in? Yeah.
ECAC? Okay, yeah. Yep. Okay.
But he was on campus and has secured himself a offer. I think, you know, we can talk about this after. And in fact, I think it's worth a pod, honestly, depending on what they're able to secure, before, I think a week from, well, when we're recording this. So a week from when we're recording this, which is Wednesday, the 14th, on the 21st, I believe will be signing day. Be interested to see if they get any transfers to because you don't actually have to sign a letter of intent to transfer, so right. they wouldn't really probably announce those kids on that day, but it'll be interesting to see if they've got anybody in the boat before that or even before when we're done with Frisco, because I think kind of a transfer portal shopping list would either be an interesting article or an interesting podcast, just because, you know, Coach keeps saying like we can't lose 5-6 kids to the portal and bring in one, or we're going to end up being the youngest team in the country.
Right.
And that's just a simple mathematic issue. So that's interesting. And so Ja'Kai Young, D.D. Snyder, Zach Durfee, a couple names to pay attention to after we spoke about the Iowa State kids in Blake Peterson, and obviously in Hunter Zenzen, whose brother Caden is already on the roster. Bison Report Radio brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. Go visit the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Say hi to my buddy John Cole, the general sales manager over there on the I-29 frontage road. More details available to you at gatewayfargo.com. Phenomenal new and used inventory, and they will always treat you right and with respect. Love the folks over at Gateway Chevrolet. Quick touch on hoops, because we don't have Nate tonight. Tough loss to Montana. Had a 9-point lead in the first half. Really, I think coming into their own as a defensive group when they have to Javis Miller and Bowden Skunberg on the floor together, Javis kind of in that Tyree Edie mold, except I think he's a better, longer athlete than Tyree. Tyree was much thicker. Tyree was a heck of a rebounder and obviously, you know, just a Hall of Famer as far as NDSU basketball is concerned, the number of starts he had, the things that were accomplished with Tyree Edie, but, really defensively were excellent with Bowden and Tejavis getting after it. And then Javis rolls his ankle, and there just isn't that same second wing defense presence when Tejavis isn't available. That 9-point deficit ends up in about an 9-point lead gets turned into about an 11-point deficit in the second half. NDSU claws back to within 5, but never gets back over the hump. and then they destroyed non-D1 Waldorf. But got a number of guys' minutes. Got Lance Waddle's the opportunity to have a career-high 14. Had some guys just see the ball go through the basket. I believe they finish non-conference play. A disappointing 3-9. But ultimately, I tell you what, South Dakota State 4-5. I wasn't necessarily – I think it's just going to be a wide-open Summit League. And that, I think, will make the 3 days in Sioux Falls. I guess it's four now that all 10 teams are going to make the tournament. I think that's going to make that tournament extremely, extremely entertaining. Also, doesn't hurt to have Dave Richmond in your corner, Mr. Sioux Falls Dave. I think they'll be at least interesting. That Tejavis injury is going to be one to notice. And I tell you what, I think they got a real opportunity here. Before New Year's Eve, they will play at Western, at St. Thomas, and at UND. That St. Thomas team is going to be good. They might already be good. We'll see. That's going to be that's going to be an interesting one. But if they can go out to Macomb and go up to Grand Forks and get a win and start out 2-1 or 3-0 on the road, I think 3-0 would be asking a lot. But if they could start 2-1 and bank two road wins in their first three games before the first of the year in conference, to really turn around a lot of narratives about this team and man, are they talented. I mean, I know that sounds insane when they're 3-9. But folks have to understand how many minutes are being doled out to true freshmen and guys that just got here. I think you're going to see a completely different version of this team in February and March. And if I'm wrong, then I guess you can dunk on me then. All right, because we're only doing one show, let's break down the win over Samford. And one thing, Trev, that I thought was maybe the most interesting thing about the entire game was Cam Miller sat up in front of God and everybody and said, I watched 3 hours of film, maybe more, a day on these guys. And they just didn't show us the same defense. That's crazy to me. Just in the sense of, you know, NDSU always, and whether it's, honestly, we're just talking about basketball, Coach Richmond, Coach Ants, Coach Braun, whoever, you run your stuff and you get so good at running your stuff that other people just can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you would create an entire new defense for one opponent is just foreign to anybody associated with NDSU men's basketball or NDSU football. Like, you just do what you do and you do it well enough that you win. I thought that was crazy. That you know what I mean? I mean, I thought that was just wild to me that Samford basically invented a defense to take on North Dakota State.
Yeah, it's a high risk, high reward type of situation. Clearly, NDSU showed enough, and Samford knew enough. So credit to their coaching staff for pivoting on a short week. On top of that,
yeah,
even shorter week because you're traveling. So clearly, spent a lot of time in the lab. Dissecting this matchup and said, you know what, we will not give ourselves a shot to win this game if we don't try to adjust something. And they clearly did that. And it's funny when you look at the box score of how well that's mimicked. The first quarter at 0-0, it was slow. It felt like a slobber knocker type game. Then NDSU puts up 10 in the second, 14 in the third. And at that point, the game's pretty much wrapped up, and then Samford scores 9 in the fourth. And of course, those points came at, points in the game that weren't going to affect the outcome. So I thought it was a smart move by the coaching staff, but again, it's a high risk, high reward. And if it did pay off and they were to come out on top, you're probably setting yourself a step back going into the following week, just because you're running different stuff. So very interesting, a unique wrinkle, but based off the box score, I thought NDSU adjusted decent. And when you're a team that was up 24-0 going into the fourth quarter against a team that lost 33-0 to the best football team in all of America, best college football team in all of America and Georgia, I think you did something right. So the more I had to reflect on this game, the more impressed I became. That's truly not from a biased lens. I do think this win is more impressive than what people think and wants to give them credit for. And I have a feeling that you might see that play out this Friday night as well.
I tell you what, too, you got a Samford team that you have three or four, well, counting NDSU, four, but three consecutive ranked opponents, three consecutive ranked wins. And if you told Samford, NDSU's getting to 27, especially after what NDSU did to UND in Montana. If you said, okay, Samford, NDSU's getting to 27, I think they sign up for that. You're talking about a team that just scored 35 on the road at Chattanooga, 50 at home against Mercer, and then 48 against Selah to move on. I tell you what, man, that had to be kind of right up their alley, or like I said, something before the game that they would have signed up for. But boy, Code Green was just dominant, as you mentioned, during the what I like to usually refer to as the competitive balance of the game. Mm-hmm. They had nothing. They had nothing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was it surprised me that they were blanketed going into the fourth. That really did surprise me. And it was a game, especially at certain moments, where it was a bend but don't break. And I think it's just a testament to how much this team has grown up since the beginning. Now that we're still seeing flashes of, you know, certain points where they can improve. But at this point, you know, win and move on. So, again, it was a short week for both teams. The defense prepared very well for an offense that you're not used to seeing. High flying. I can't remember what it's not play per minute, but it's like a play per however fast you run it, whatever that adage is. That's the type of offense you're seeing, and that's the type of offense you're not used to going up against as a defense. So you got to credit the coaching staff. We have seen it a few times throughout this championship run. And, you know, hopefully it's something that they can actually use for this week, because I think you're going to see an even more explosive offense and carry that momentum into this game against Incarnate Word.
Yeah, we mentioned wanting to see more from Cam Miller after a disappointing performance against Montana, and he was absolutely outstanding. Mentioned that 3-3 front that Samford came with after really having more of a bare front for most of what Cam saw on film. And that, especially with the pressure, they were selling out to stop the run. And yes, you had to drop back Cam had to drop back 24 times. But was able to complete 15 of 18 for 194 yards, averaging 10.8 yards per attempt. So not only, obviously, is 83.3% completion percentage just banana land, but also to do that while averaging 10.8 per throw, that was really, really impressive. And I thought he was in master command of the offense against a Samford defense that right away was a little bit frustrating, especially on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Seven's playing that efficient, it's exactly what you need out of your quarterback in the Bison offense. I mean, you're controlling the tempo. You're making plays exactly when they need to be made, and it's nothing that's going to flash. But when you go and you reflect on the overall performance, you're completing 80-plus percent of your passes, throwing for almost 200-plus touchdown, rushing for another. Can't ask any much more out of him, especially in a game where you don't have to score 35 to 40 to win. That might be the case this week. So I think he needs to use this performance. And, you know, if he has to drop back a little bit more, depending upon what the Incarnate Word defense gives him, just take advantage of it. And if that efficient play carries over and taking care of the football, you're going to find yourself in Frisco once again.
Yeah, the missed tackles were back. If you're worried about one thing, and we'll get into this a little bit with Marcus Cooper and just how electric he is for Incarnate Word. 16 missed tackles, you don't love to see that. And crazy when you think about it being not a power back, not a power back system, and a game that the other team scored 9 freaking points. But, man, you go back and you look at the tape, and I actually – kind of kept mental note because I looked at the Pro Football Focus college number and I go, wow, they just gave up 9 points. There's no way they missed 16 tackles. But man, I, like I said, I kept mental note during the rewatch, and there it was. Any concern with that for you, Trev?
There is. Now you take it with a grain of salt, and it's hard to know how that was exactly attributed. It depends on who's grading it themselves and what type of eye they're looking at it. You know, it could be, you know, plus or minus 2 either way, really. But I mean, you got net 57 yards rushing. It's more open field tackles. That definitely has to get cleaned up in a game like this because.
Those are the type of tackles you can't miss against Incarnate Word. They don't want to go up and down the field. And we're already getting into an Incarnate Word preview during the Samford recap part. But I mean, that's what you don't want against Incarnate Word.
Right. So, it tells me when you have a team that rushes for a net of 57 yards, it's all downfield misses. And when you have an electric offense like this, that just needs to get shored up because teams are going to get their yards when that happens. Now, albeit if you keep them out of the end zone, which NDSU clearly did outside of the one, with under 4 minutes to play, which didn't have an effect on the final outcome, it's hard to really complain about it. Now, it's just not a number you want to see when you look at a box sheet when you're trying to figure out, okay, what's going to put our team in the best position to win a football game. That number's not going to do it. So, yes, I do have concerns in terms of that has to get cleaned up, especially in a game like you have upcoming. But at this point in the season, if you win by one and you have 20 missed tackles, I'll take that all day, every day, because you're moving on.
Moving on, survive in advance. Mm-hmm. Injury, I think that really had to be the big, takeaway from this game was just like, can NDSU get out of this game without significant issues? Tamarick Williams obviously being a big one, just because, we talked a little bit about TK Marshall and Kobe Johnson having a huge role both this year and next year, but, potentially NDSU going big back shopping in the portal. And that's because there really isn't an answer on the roster for Tamarick that isn't Hunter Lipke, who, by the way, isn't coming back either. So the big back issue, and it's just like you would never want anything to happen to Kobe, but you could sort of replicate what Kobe does with some sort of combination of Barica and Bussy. You can't replicate 6'1", 230. That you either got that or you don't. And so the Tamarick, issue was big. And you talk about a kid like Rajah Nelson really stepping into those shoes in the slot where, he had production from Phoenix Sproles. He had production from DJ Hart. Who's going to step up at the wide receiver position all of a sudden in this game in a got-to-have-it playoff game? You've got Rajah Nelson making big play after big play. He goes off on the cart. That's not great. Spencer Wagey with a couple of scares. Ultimately, though, we were told no broken bones, et cetera, but in a game where you're trying to control the clock and with a kid, and look, Kobe looks bigger. He looks, he looks like a kid that could take 25 carries and probably be fine. But in a game where I think 40 minutes of time of possession is on the table, especially with the way Incarnate Word runs their offense, you'd really like to have 22 available, would you not?
Yeah, and I think you're spot on as far as like hitting the big back in the portal. I mean, it's kind of been a staple a little bit in more recent history. I mean, I played with a gentleman by the name of King Frazier who ended up being pretty good. And then obviously Tamarick followed in his shoes coming from SMU and King, of course, coming from Nebraska. So who that is, I don't know. I do imagine that'll probably be on the table for the coaching staff. So I would like to see that as far as forward looking in the recruiting sort of things. But as far as Kobe Johnson getting the workload and TK Marshall, I both are more than capable.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, if there's I hate to say it, but if there's a position group that was going to get hurt this year, it better be at running back. And unfortunately, and somewhat fortunately, that has been the case. Now, on the edges sort of things, the wide receiver group, golly, man, Rajah was just, he was playing so well. My heart goes out to the kid because that's just tough. And, I think there's enough here. I think the matchup bodes well for the type of injuries that have occurred because the injuries, knock on wood, that have been kept at bay and that you do have a lot of depth at is the big boys up front, the Rams. I think this is going to be won by two things against Incarnate Word. I know we're not an Incarnate Word preview necessarily, but time of possession, and that's going to be controlled by the Rams, and then winning the turnover battle. You take away possessions from Incarnate Word, you completely deflate what they want to accomplish. So Kobe Johnson, he's going to get a heavy workload. Getting 25 carries would be great. I know he's not a thunder type back, but he can do that in this game and have 3 weeks to recovery with the victory. So expect a heavy dose of him. Expect a heavy dose of TK Marshall, who is more than capable.
TK Runs angry, man.
He does. He has shown a lot of flashes. So I'm excited to see the big dog eat there. But yeah, I just, you know, Tomerick, he's been playing so well at such a high level. You know, his workload is increasing with Hunter getting hurt. And then he goes down. It's just, you just never like to see it. And it's amazing that NDSU has been able to overcome these, because there's not a lot of FCS programs that would be able to do this. And we have seen it over and over and over again. It happens every year. And it's just a matter of who's going to step up and who's going to go make a play. Now, at some point, you lose enough guys to where it could be detrimental. And
Cam said, well, we got freshmen. Both Matt and Cam said they got freshmen.
They got bodies. I mean, they got guys who can play. You know, there's a reason they were recruited to North Dakota State. It's just different when you haven't, you know, sniffed the grass with your,
right,
you know, in a real game-like situation. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Crazier stuff has happened. I mean, I know RJ played all season in 2014, and then look what he did in the playoffs. You know, that's really where he had his coming out part. I mean, he did a lot of really good things, and we knew he was going to be a really good player. But the playoffs, he elevated his game to a new level. Sometimes you got kids that are just gamers, and they love the bright lights. And it's most certainly going to be as bright as it can be on Friday and obviously beyond that. So excited to see what Kobe and TK can do. Cam obviously has a little bit larger role now. And if you go 40 plus minutes hanging on to the ball, you gave yourself a shot.
Shoot, that was – yeah, speaking of Cam, we didn't even mention the Cole Payton injury, which tears pages out of the playbook if he's not able to go. Obviously, Cam with the five-pack of rushing touchdowns against UND, he can and does run the football. But there are obviously specific Cole Payton packages that I'm sure there's honestly Cole Payton stuff that was earmarked for the playoffs, because, you know, we talk so much about – how NDSU doesn't show their hand against SDSU in the regular season, doesn't show their hand against UNI in the regular season. Like, they have bullets, I'm sure. I'm sure there are Cole Payton bullets that maybe they had a couple that they were ready to fire in Arizona, and they've got a couple they're ready to fire in the playoffs. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, okay, speaking of Cole, I mean, my take on it, I was with a bunch of friends down here in South Carolina. I brought all of my green clothing that I had, so everyone had their code green on. It was awesome. I couldn't hear any of the audio that was going on, but from the looks of it, it looked like 15 really wasn't injured. It looked like he just kind of gimped off, kind of didn't, you know, like what he was feeling. I know he didn't really come back, but to me, it doesn't seem like he's really like out, you know?
No, ankle sprain, ankle issue. They took away his helmet. Yeah. They took away his helmet, gave him a headset. And then in the second half came back, had his helmet and had a retaped right ankle. So I think, you know, I'll tell you this. I think the QB2 in the second half was Cole Payton, not Peter Anderson. Now, they didn't put anything in, but I'm just saying, if something awful would have happened to Cam, I do think Cole Payton would have played in the second half. But that is purely conjecture,
not based on
anything.
So, okay, yeah, I would expect him to suit up. I'm sure there's packages dialed up and, you know, keep that at bay and only pull it out as needed in that type of situation would be my best guess. So that's encouraging to hear.
Really interesting to me was the use of the use of the nickel package. And I know they basically have Sam and Nickel do the same things, but 50 snaps for Dom Jones. And this is a kid who, you know, has done a lot. And I know is very excited to take over a full-time role in the back end next year, but this is a young man that has had 14 snap games and 16 snap games and 17 snap games. And because of the spread out way that Samford tries to attack you, the Bison played a 4-2-5 for most of the game. They had Dom play 50 snaps. I don't know. I'm sure I could figure it out pretty easily how many actual snaps Samford played on offense by just picking on a 73 snaps. So he was playing, you know, more than two-thirds of what was going on there for Samford. The Bison happy to use basically Kubitz and Kaser. They did rotate in some linebackers, but happy to use kind of that Mike and Will in the box and nickel detached look with Dom Jones. So that'll be something interesting to watch. Trevor, what do you think they're working on in practice this week?
I do think shoring up the tackles, wrapping up, bringing folks down. Guys in the open field, you cannot let them get loose because this is the type of game you do not want to be playing an uphill battle, getting down early. So making sure you're wrapping up tackles in the open field and just bringing guys down because they're going to get yards. It's going to happen. Just keep them out of the end zone a handful of times and you'll be just fine.
We've done this before, but we were able to raise $600 and what will be matched up to $720 by Lend a Hand Up for Eric Bunnell, thanks to the generous donation from Coach Antz and the NDSU football team. And we just wanted to thank Coach Antz, his staff, and his players because that's pretty awesome. I know that kind of money can go a long way. We just had a kid this year and I know how much that costs. I shudder to think at the costs of fighting cancer. Truly, truly terrible stuff. So thank you to Coach Antz and to the NDSU football team. That was a big deal. All right, diving into an Incarnate Word preview. Lindsey Scott, Trevor Gebhardt, was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Louisiana in what year? High school player of the year.
Well, I know he's old. I'm trying to think back to when he started his career. I know I've seen this, or at least heard this, because he's the Walter Payton Award winner.
Yeah. 2000. I'll answer for you for the sake of time. 2015.
That's absurd. Are you serious?
I am. He was the Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year, started his career at LSU, spent time, I believe, at Nichols. The Benchwarmers guys ran us all through, but he threw, I would guess, a COVID year, a redshirt year, and a med red, I would guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to get 3 years back, because here's a frame of reference for the listeners here, because we've established that I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So my last football game was January, whatever, 2015.
Right.
So that means that fall in that same calendar year, Lindsey Scott Jr. played his final high school football season.
And you're an old man with multiple children.
I have a mortgage and two kids, and I've been married for five.
Oh, that's amazing. Seventh year player, but man, he's been lighting it up. I think he's responsible for like 59 touchdowns. And look, you dial it up of how to beat the Bison over the last 15 years. And, one of the big answers is having a quarterback that can move around, and he can certainly move around. I think, 60 yard rush on like a little draw was the first blood that Incarnate Word drew. He is problematic and a very good player. And obviously, you know, when you're 25 years old or however old he is, I mean, He's seen it all. He's experienced it all. Nothing's going to phase this kid. He's a grown man.
Yeah. I mean, well, 7 years of college football will do that to you. But even then, yeah, like,
absolutely,
he's overcame a lot. Like, you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, obviously, you get the year back with COVID if you choose to do so.
Yeah.
So he got that. You know, if he's got a medical red shirt on top of that, he has bounced back from injury, so he knows how to overcome adversity in that regard. A little bit of a journeyman college career from my understanding. So he's just seen a lot, done a lot, knows a lot of people. I'm sure he's got a lot of contacts and mentors through that. And you don't have 50 plus touchdowns or 60 plus touchdowns, whatever he's got, without being a strong, capable athletic freak show, to put it lightly. So NDSU will certainly have their hands full with him. We'll see what they can do to contain it. I mean, you're not going to stop him from scoring. I know that. And, you know, they're not going to put up a zero burger like they did against us in 2014. Completely different program and completely different personnel. So, it'll be fun to watch another electric player that NDSU has gone up against. We've certainly seen a lot throughout the years. You just can't let it get away from you, especially early.
Yeah, folks, if the name Incarnate Word rings a bell, it is because when College Game Day was here, one of the times that College Game Day was in downtown Fargo, we played Incarnate Word. And that was a bloodbath, but boy, have they, you know, we talk about talent and the options for talent, and they are certainly not at the top of the list for, you know, folks in their area being a Texas school, but boy, they have figured it out. You know, they have figured out a way, despite however many options are available for players in that area. And there are a billion players in that area. They have found kids, and 66 points. And I know, you know, we make fun of the Big Sky, and, you know, we weren't ever very high on Sacramento State. I made the case for their seeding based on how I thought the committee would think, but that didn't have anything to do with my opinion of them as a football team. But 66 points is 66 points, man. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're going against Fargo North, 66 is a lot.
Yeah, you still got to execute. And again, give credit where credit's due. I think that game for the late night FCS Warriors that watched it, it was electric. It was definitely from the electric factory. I think tackling was optional, obviously, but it was a game of momentum where both teams could just feel it. And it felt like whoever was going to have the ball last was going to win. And
just about true.
Yeah, I mean, very much. True. Yeah, almost by about, what, 30 seconds or so?
Yeah, a little Hail Mary.
Yep. But what I think is, you know, like I said, when we were kind of doing the Samford recap, I'm so excited about this game, I can't not get away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, Incarnate World gives up. They don't give up. Their opponents average 33 minutes in time of possession. That, to me, is very startling. Because
like 40, 41, 42, 43 are within the realm then.
It is on the table, especially if NDSU starts with the football. You go down on a 10-play, 8-minute drive to start the game. You know, it's obviously Incarnate Word is going to want to come out and try to score within 3 plays. That's what they do. They're going to get a first down or two. Let them have it. Let them have their 30, 40-yard gain. It's going to happen. Let it go. Come back. Let them give you the football. Lindsey Scott Jr. is phenomenal at hanging on to the football. He only has a handful of picks, I believe, this year. So you just got to take advantage of when the opportunities do arise to limit their possessions. So the best thing NDSU can do is keep Incarnate Word off the field. That's going to be their best defense this game. And then any turnovers that you get, you got to capitalize on them. Because that could be an extra possession on top of it.
Right. So, and just keeping them in front of you. I mean, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I think if you have four or fewer 20-plus yard plays, I guess like PFF does 15-plus yards are explosives. If they have three or fewer explosives,
it's over.
It's over. And it's a big Michael Tutsi and Dawson Weber game.
Mm-hmm. Don't let Don Jones. Brought Don Jones. I mean, to me, this would be a huge game for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't let it over your head. Also, don't let it run over you. And that's the other thing we want to talk about is running back Marcus Cooper. If you want to get a Isaiah Davis another shot at a kid like him, Marcus Cooper, 71 missed tackles forced and 3.9 yards per carry after contact. Not 3.9 yards per carry, 3.9 yards per carry after contact. This kid is for real.
Well, he's top 10 in rushing too in overall yards, and I know it's the Southland. I've been notorious for making fun of that conference. To me, Incarnate Word is a new, more highly dynamic, faster paced offense than what Sam Houston was.
Sure,
you know. So I think he's better than Tim Flanders. That's where I frame him up.
Woo!
Yeah, and it's because of the yards after contact metric. One guy's not going to bring him down, and that's why. Missed tackles when we talked about earlier in the pod is a big thing in this, because when you got guys in the open field, you need to wrap him up and bring him down. I have to imagine, just my thoughts, they're going to use him heavy in the screen game because they want to get him in the open field in one-on-one matchups, knowing what type of I guess, things that NDSU needs to work on defense, and that's missed tackles. They've certainly gotten better at it, maybe took a step back this last week in just terms of a raw number, but he is another guy you cannot let get loose into that third level, because at that point, your numbers become limited in terms of bodies to bring him down. So you got to get a hat on a hat and let the cleanup come through. And it's going to be what I call a tube game. It's like you're tubing on the lake. You hang on to that sucker until somebody else comes to help you out. So you just hang on for the ride, get hats on Marcus Cooper, and you'll be doing just fine. Because, again, they're going to get theirs. They're going to get the yards.
I got a question for you. We talked so much about, like, tempo and similarities to Samford. There's not a huge similarity, though, in the line. You know, 19.5-point favorites against Samford, just 9-point favorites against Incarnate Word. Can you explain to me why you feel like, and maybe you don't, but why do you think Incarnate Word is getting 10 more points of respect? Is it the quarterback? I mean, is it as simple as that?
Quarterback play. I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, he is so dynamic. You don't have 60 plus touchdowns total. You know, I don't know how many are through the air, 55 or whatever it is, without being able to put the ball where it needs to be. They put their players in situations that they thrive in. So if there's something that player does well, they make sure that they are in a scenario where their skill set is going to thrive. And sometimes coaching isn't that hard. It's really that simple. And there's a reason that their coach is leaving for Texas State when their season is over. J.G. Kinney is phenomenal. I think he's done a phenomenal job with this program. I think he's the second one going to an FBS program or something like that from Incarnate Word now. So they are certainly a program on the rise. This is certainly a game that they can make their arrival statement. So they would love nothing more than to beat the bully. But I think the spread is coming from faster guys and better quarterback play.
How many stops do you think you need to get? Because, you know, you mentioned, I think the defense has given up 33 a game. You just watched them. I think North Dakota State has a better offense than Sacramento State. You just watched them give up 63 points. I mean, if NDSU has a turnover and forces two punts, is the game over?
I'm not sure, because special teams is a factor too. So
sure.
I think you have to account for that. I think if you get four stops, you're gonna win the game. I think it's going to be close if you do, but because the biggest thing is when you do get a turnover, what do you do with it? You know, if they get a turnover and turn around and get seven, well, now that's basically two possessions from a mathematical standpoint of what it could have been. So by giving them the ball back, you know, theoretically they could also score within 30 seconds just because that's what they do. I think you need a minimum of four. If you start to get to the 5 and 6 range, you're probably going to win by a score or two.
Yeah, I think one of the big the big deals, the big points is to shut down Oliver Charles-Pierre, tire him out. And I think clock control is going to have a lot to do with that. This is a 6'2", 375-pound man with 15 quarterback pressures, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for a guy that size is pretty impressive. And he just had 5 quarterback pressures against Sacramento State. So 33% of his production just in last week's game. He's also a kid with 20 stops and 22 total tackles, meaning his tackles are constituting a failure for the offense based on down and distance. He is their highest graded defender, period. The number one. So everybody looks at him and obviously it's like, oh wow, this guy's 6'1", 375. That's crazy. Not only that, but he has the highest defensive Pro Football Focus college grade on the roster. But a guy that big, no matter how much conditioning you do or how good a shape you think you are in, if NDSU holds on to the ball for 41, 42, 43 minutes, it's going to neutralize the young man.
Yeah. I mean, I think you certainly will tire out at that point. And the biggest thing is just attacking it early. You know, if it doesn't work out, which it might not, it's okay. Just keep going at it, because that's what you have to do. Maybe try to get him laterally. So maybe try to get the jet sweep game going just to get him working, or try to pull somebody to get him running upfield and then have to turn around and run back. So I don't know if you pull out the screen game in that regard. But anything you can do to wear him down, then that middle is going to become wide open.
All right, Trev, give me your keys to getting back to Frisco. What has to go well in this game to play the song?
There's a lot, but number one and number two and number three, it's turnovers. Win the turnover battle by 2+, you're going to Frisco.
All right. Bonus question. Who do you want to see in Frisco?
Oh, man. I've got so many thoughts about this. We can make this an hour-long pod. Montana State, simply because of my love for Coach Vegan and Coach Brian Shepherd, who, of course, I played with and won national titles with. So I've got, you know, people that I have a lot of respect for, people that I want to see do well and continue to do well. And I would much rather see them have success than, you know, my home state. And, you know, I don't think that's a secret. Now, on the other side of that coin, I would love nothing more than for North Dakota State to beat South Dakota State in Frisco, because that's the one thing that hasn't happened yet. I think it would be good for FCS football in terms of an overall matchup. I think it would create a lot of views because you got the whole marker scene behind it, which of course College Game Day has come to. And I know the marker is a nationally recognized rivalry at this point. So I think I'd be okay with either. Now I am going to lean on the side of Montana State to answer that question, mostly because that's what my bracket was when I picked it before the playoffs started. And if it's NDSU, Montana State, I will have every single pick right with the exception of one pick in the first round. You can go on Twitter and find that thread for proof.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Bison fan, the answer is Montana State, because you've never seen a Big Sky team give them actual trouble in the playoffs, including Montana State. Frisco literally a year ago. So, yeah, yeah. I think you are going to be cheering for Montana State if you're a Bison fan, and your goal is for them to hang 10.
Here's the other thing about that too, and here's mostly why I picked NDSU Montana State, and I wanted to wait for this pod to kind of talk about it, but the FCS playoffs has a weird way of repeating itself. It's like history goes in like 2 to 4 year waves of kind of repeating itself and how these things play out. You know, you think back to the Georgia Southern, Sam Houston State runs back to back years. It was the exact same teams in the exact same rounds. Well, then in 2013, 2014, North Dakota State played Coastal Carolina in the same round. You go back to 16 and 17, it was San Diego, I believe, in the same rounds.
Yep.
You know, and then the last 2 years, it's been a SoCon team in the quarterfinals. So it's like these things always go in waves like this. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure the regionality component of it, obviously personnel being a huge factor in that, and in the types of players that are within each respective program within any given year. So I would have to imagine you're going to see, you know, Lindsey Scott Jr. I don't think he has his eighth year of eligibility, but I think you're going to start to see teams like that start to emerge more. And then now obviously Montana State and South Dakota State playing in the same round. The reason I picked NDSU Montana State is because these things have a way of repeating themselves in a weird, odd fashion in ways that do not seem like it's going to when you look at things on paper. I mean, South Dakota State's hosting for a reason. They more than deserve that. The way Montana State is playing, the way they match up with them, it just doesn't fit what the Jackrabbits need to be successful. So, you know, that's kind of why I did it. Plus, it's never as like, it seems like when you pick brackets, whether it's March Madness or FCS, it seems like if you go with what seems like to be the most obvious, that doesn't always happen, you know? So it's kind of why I went with it. We'll see what happens. I think that'll be a phenomenal game. I think both matchups are very, very intriguing. And it should and hopefully is a great weekend for FCS football.
Absolutely. All right, Trev, feet to the fire, score prediction.
I haven't really thought a whole lot about this one, to be honest. So I'm kind of getting put on the spot. Incarnate Word does not hold NDSU to below 30. So I think NDSU gets to that 42 to 49 range. So I'm going to go 45 NDSU, 34 Incarnate Word.
Yeah, I've got 48-28 Bison. I think NDSU wins. I think they cover, and I think they go back to Frisco, which we will obviously provide Frisco content for the people. We want to thank Trevor Gebhardt for his time tonight. Thank our wonderful sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Gateway Chevrolet. And thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a great rest of your week, and go Bison.